We are Sam and Parker, and welcome to the Get Us Out of Retail podcast. Today, we are going to be discussing our past relationships. Thanks for all the support, and I really hope you enjoy.
For the first time since Halloween.
Yeehaw.
It's been a hot minute. It's exciting. So this time, we're wanting to talk about relationships. And it's one of my favorite topics just ever. Mm-hmm. Makes me really happy to talk about just relationships in general. Like romantic relationships.
See, I've always been the complete opposite, but like now that we're together, it changes a lot of things.
Yeah, it's definitely changed it a lot. One thing that I want to discuss, about relationships, is like the honeymoon period, because like ours didn't really have that much of one.
No, not really.
Stuff got real really fast with ours. But that's a big thing is people get into these relationships and they go through the honeymoon period and they're like so happy and obsessed with their partner, and then the second it hits like 6 to 8 months, it goes downhill really fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, which we're about to hit month six.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I'm feeling good.
No, we're definitely not in a honeymoon period anymore. Like, we've been to the hospital with like both of us. Like, we've done a lot of real stuff. We came out to our parents, stuff like that. It's gotten very real, very fast.
It's been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I feel like you can't go through a honeymoon phase and be in that much of a roller coaster.
No, it definitely has been a roller coaster. We've been really good, really, really good so far. One thing I like is that in this relationship, we've gotten to practice communication. And, like, it's really nice to have feelings not be, like, a bad thing.
Yeah.
And you can still feel negative emotions. Like, and it not be a big, like, blown out fight and stuff.
No. We're two very passive people.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a little bit of a firehead, but not with me.
Yeah. I think we both have, like, our times.
Mm-hmm.
But we bounce off each other really well in the sense that if one of us is feeling particularly argumentative or uppity, the other one typically takes a more passive stance.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it lets things, like, roll off a little bit more. And there hasn't been too much conflict so far, and the little bit of conflict that we have had, we resolved pretty fast.
Yeah, we're pretty good with communication overall, I think.
Yeah, like, I think one thing that's nice is when you're, like, constantly looking out for each other, like, you're less worried about, like, if that other person is screwing you over or not.
True.
When you just constantly both care about each other and are trying to, like, do each other's, like, what would be best for each other.
Mm-hmm. You constantly check up on each other, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how are we doing? How is this going? How are you doing? Is there anything we need to work on? Like, that kind of thing.
It takes, like, a lot of humility to ask, like, hey, is this okay? Because it can be really tough to, like, think that you're not doing something correctly. But it takes, like, you have to be very humble in a good relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have to get over that, like, embarrassing hump and just, you know, understand that, especially if you're planning on, like, having a future together, that embarrassing things are going to happen and tough situations are going to happen, but being open and being able to communicate that and communicate when something is wrong or if your partner does something that makes you uncomfortable, being able to be like, hey, this wasn't okay, can we talk about it or can we not do that anymore, really helps a lot.
Yeah, and for, like, us, whenever we have those conversations with each other, to be like, yeah, okay, like, how can I help? Instead of, like, I know in a lot of the past relationships I've been in, it's, like, an immediate attack of character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even things in such, like, intimate relationships and stuff, like, that person knows their body best. And so it's best just to ask, like, what you can do, and not take it personally if you don't do something correctly.
Exactly. Not getting upset if they don't want to do something that you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of just, like, making this whole thing work is making a lot of sacrifices. Like, even though you love that person and you would do anything for them, some days, like, they're just sacrifices that you didn't want to have to make. But, like, it's always worth it in the end.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you really care about somebody, you're basically willing to do about anything.
Yeah.
Like, don't compromise yourself. But unless it's affecting the other person. But at the same time, you have to understand that at this point, it's, like, more than just yourself. Because you start to look out for another person, like we said. And keep their best interest in mind along with yourself.
And I would also say don't, like, settle for less. Like, I think for both you and your partner, you should always strive to be the best. Like, just because we're 6 months into dating and, like, probably gonna get engaged semi-soon, like, the dates still haven't stopped. Like, we went on a date this morning, we're going shopping later. Like, you should still be constantly dating each other even after you're married.
Oh, yeah.
Because that just keeps things going and keeps things good.
And it's not like you have to spend a ton of money. I mean, like, even just, like, having a movie date or making dinner, you know, and spending time with each other still means a lot. Like, just learn your partner's love languages and go off that.
That's what I was going to say. Like, our big love language is time spent together. That and, like, physical affection. But, like, whatever works best for you guys. If your partner's love language is gift-giving, then you best be buying them as many gifts as you can. Like, it doesn't even have to be expensive. Like, something little.
Yeah.
Little can make your partner's day.
Exactly. Or, like, I don't know, just, like, a little trinket you found or something that means a lot to them.
Mm-hmm. And I know, like, for my mom, like, hearing, like, words of affirmation, I think it's called. That's one of her big ones. And my stepdad will leave, like, love notes around the house for her.
That's
and
really
so, like,
cute.
Every little thing she does in the morning, there'll be a different love note. Yeah.
That's really cute.
Yeah, my stepdad was, like throughout the time I was growing up, was a really good example as far as, like, how you should treat your partner.
Aww.
Mm-hmm. And he, like, just out of, like, nowhere will buy her flowers, and she'll just come home and she'll have flowers and a card and stuff. It's really sweet.
That's super sweet, yeah.
Yeah. So that was always a good example growing up. And that's, like, I think that's honestly what makes a relationship good, is if you're looking at the smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like, the big extravagant, like, trips and, like, huge gifts are fun, but you have to have, like, a lot of smaller things in between those.
Yeah. You have to be reasonable, too. I mean, nobody can afford, or most people can afford, I guess there's the few rare, can afford to spend thousands of dollars doing stuff all the time. Like, be willing to have, like, those little cheap little dates. Like, you see them on TikTok all the time, where they're, like, a date for, like, $20 and under, that kind of thing. It's just, like, don't let money be a focus, but also understand that if you're trying to live a life, that it also has to be part of it. You have to be responsible at times, too.
I think that's what a lot of people don't want to talk about, is, like, the financial side, where, like, yes, like, you should spend your money and, like, be happy, but at the same time, you have to be able to pay your bills. Like, you have to be able to do those things.
And that's, like, kind of where I feel like the compromising thing comes in, you know? If somebody wants to go to this really, like, expensive situation, like, maybe you're looking to see if you can get coupons, or maybe they have, like, a coupon night or a deal night, or maybe you just wait a little bit till you can save up some money, that kind of thing.
No, that's one thing I like about having a relationship and having, like, someone you want to spend your life with, is that you just kind of get to explore, like, parts of their personality. And that's one of my favorite parts, is just, like, all of that exploration.
Yeah, and finding out all the little details. Like, your little shoulder shakes.
Yeah, I do little happy things. I have specific movements when I'm happy. And so, but, like, nobody else in my life knows me. Like, you have to get close enough to me to know that.
Nervous coughs?
Yeah, I do nervous cough. If you hear me cough on the show, it's probably not a real cough. It's probably a nervous one. 99%
of the time, it's not real. I usually go, okay, is this a nervous cough? Is this a real cough?
Yep,
what's going on here?
I cough whenever I get overwhelmed, so.
That's really funny.
But, yeah, like, and I think people who aren't meant to be together typically get annoyed at little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people's little quirks. But it's so much fun for us.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
It's like, almost like a little treasure hunt, because you, like, learn something new every day.
Yeah.
About your partner's personality, or about their life, or about who they are as a person and how they're growing. And it's like seeing somebody grow into themselves, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it's really funny, or it's like fun to see. I know that I've gotten, like, especially in a relationship, like, I've gotten to explore a lot more feminine side of myself.
Yeah.
And I really like that, like, getting to explore that with you.
It's really sweet. I like seeing you get to do all these things that previous partners would have gotten mad at you for, whatever.
Yeah, or even you, like, a lot of your previous partners have wanted you to be more feminine,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got to explore, like, a more masculine side while also, like, being okay with being feminine.
Yeah.
you know.
That's
I think we've are really good at establishing, like, you typically present more masculine and I typically do things more feminine, but it's okay to be the other way around. Like, exactly. I think we've done, like, a lot of exploring with that, of, like, being okay. Like, I'm, like, I feel confident and okay, like, in my gender, but then also able to do masculine things. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what feels kind of good, is getting able, being able to explore that.
Breaking the gender boundary stereotypes. Gotta love it.
Speaking of gender boundaries and, like, LGBT relationships, I mean, that's something that I was entirely new to. Like, well, essentially, I had one online relationship that was like that. But aside from that, it had just been straight relationships. Yeah. So there was definitely a learning curve there for me.
And it's, like, all the little things that, honestly, most of the time, unless you're LGBT, you don't even notice it. Like, the, like, angry stares from elderly people, or, like, hearing slurs underneath people's breaths, or doctors not listening to you or not understanding because you're in a not cis-straight relationship. And it makes things really complicated. And that was something that I, like, wanted to shelter you from, but I knew it would be impossible. So it's one of those things. It's just, like, kind of guiding you along it. Because I've been noticeably queer pretty much my entire life. So it's a lot different where all this is completely new to you, really, besides having friends.
Yeah, like, I've been called, like, a lesbian since I was probably in middle school. Like, people, like, called me that and, like, different slurs for it. Even though I wasn't, but I never, like, I've never identified as anything LGBT, and so, aside from being in this relationship, I hadn't had much experience, so experiencing things like prejudice and stuff was definitely, like, hard at first.
Yeah.
And it still is hard, like, I'm not gonna lie, it's still difficult, difficult to, like, especially, I think the scariest thing for me right now is, like, with stores and stuff, because we had an experience, what was it, like, a few months ago when we were at that Ollie's store. And people were, like, crowding around us, and I didn't know why, because my brain doesn't go there. Like, I just didn't understand why people were, like, crowding to crowding, like, way too close to us.
So what happened was, is you were, like, really involved in, like, looking at something, and I noticed that there was, like, a bunch of elderly people, like, glaring and whispering and looking directly at us, and then within a few seconds we got swarmed. Like, it was embarrassingly bad, and it's not like we were in a particularly, like, packed area. Like, it was completely empty, and then all of a sudden these elderly people, like, swarmed us, and one of them kept saying not very nice things, and so I got us both out of there. Mm-hmm. And you were so confused.
I was like, I don't know what happened. And then it kind of hit me later after you'd explained it. Like, it hit me that that's been happening, but, like, that was the worst incident to this date, but it still, like, makes me nervous, like, with stores and stuff.
Yeah, no, it made me, like, I went home and cried.
Yeah.
Because she looked at me, like, wide-eyed, and was like, why are people crowding us?
It's because I don't understand legitimately when that happens.
Because, bless your heart, I mean, you see me, you know, as how I feel, whereas a lot of people don't, because I'm not transitioned at all yet, so it's making this a little bit more difficult than what I hopefully will be once I start testosterone. But it was just, like, seeing you, like, so, like, wide-eyed, like, what's going on? And I realized how complicated this was gonna be.
Yeah.
And it was like getting slapped in the face, you know? It's because, like, I've always been with other queer people, so we've all just, like, had that acknowledgement that things were gonna be hard. But here I am, you know, in, like, my first, like, actually straight relationship.
Yeah.
And I never even, like, it didn't even occur to me until then that it would be a new experience for you. And I remember how hard that was for me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, first experiencing that kind of thing. And I just didn't want that to happen to you.
Yeah. I'm definitely, like, I try to keep my eye on it more now and be more, like, aware of what's happening. Because you have, like, you don't want to be scared all the time, but you want to be, like, safe and be aware of your surroundings.
Exactly.
Like, especially when we get ready to go out of town, like, we do have to be more careful than, like, a regular straight couple.
Yeah.
Because of the way we're perceived by other people.
Exactly, yeah.
And then I also had my first experience with discrimination at a doctor's office. That was fun.
I'm still pissed about this.
It was an OBGYN office. And for those of you who don't know, that's like a like gynecological type thing. And so I have issues with my uterus. And so that's why I had to go see an OBGYN. And they're also like a baby doctor and stuff. Like they do stuff like that. And so I had like okay experiences there. Like I wasn't really thrilled with the office, but I was still going. And the doctor is like this, she's kind of older. She's not like an old lady. She might be in her like 40s or 50s. And she's like Indian. Like she's from like India or something. Mm-hmm. And so that's like this doctor. And she's like kind of sweet, like mostly. And so I had gone in there because I thought I had some sort of a yeast infection and I was about to get an IUD in, so I didn't want that to cause problems. And so I went in there and they were asking about sexual activity. And when you're not with someone that's like a cisgender male, that can be a complicated question. And I didn't want to lie to them. I didn't just want to be like, no, I haven't had any, like things like that. So that was basically the question. So whenever I explained that my partner wasn't cis, she was just like, oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing now, and made it super awkward. It just made the rest of the visit horrible, and you could tell that I immediately started getting treated differently as soon as she knew that. So I was like, well, I'm not coming here anymore. So I got my IUD in with her, but I'm not going back.
It makes me so mad because, like, it's not like it's just now a thing. Like, it's always been a thing. It's just people have pretended it didn't exist.
Yeah.
Or pretended that, like, we as a culture didn't exist. So that makes me so angry.
Yeah. Definitely. Like, I just don't think that was a valid excuse for her.
Especially not as a doctor.
She was just being prejudiced to be prejudiced. So I left a Google review and said, if you're LGBT, go anywhere but here.
Still my favorite Google reviews I've ever seen.
So good. I've roasted them. The other thing I wanted to cover regarding relationships is, like, trauma in past relationships and then getting into a new relationship, because that is, like, quite possibly one of the hardest things that I've done to date.
Yeah.
Is, like, because I was very proactive with my trauma, where kind of as soon as it happened, and when I was in my teenage years, and actually had control of, like, going to therapy and stuff, I immediately started going to therapy, and started, like, especially when I got to 18, it was even more so, of the reason why I wanted to go to therapy was to fix some of the things so that it wouldn't be so hard on my, like, first good relationship, because I was single from age 16 to 20, I want to say. So, like, a good span of years I was single, and so I was trying to work on myself. But even with that amount of work, it still has been very difficult.
Yeah.
And you have past trauma, too. And so when you're bringing in, like, both people's baggage, it can be difficult.
Yeah. But I think that's, like, one of the things that I really appreciate about our relationship is that we both know what it's like, and we both are actively, like, preventing that from happening to us again.
Yeah.
And working on ourselves and everything. Because it's really hard. And I don't think enough people talk about that, is, like, when you've spent, like, every relationship getting abused or whatever, you know, it makes everything difficult. Like, even the littlest things, you know, if you spill something, you think you're gonna get screamed at, or if you decide you don't want to be, you know, intimate or something that day, you think you're gonna, you know, something else bad happen. But with us, it's like, oh yeah, okay, no, it's fine, you know, let's watch a movie, or, you know, we just clean this up real quick and then continue about our day. It's not a big deal. Accidents happen.
Yeah, it's been a big thing of, like, especially with being intimate, if you just say, like, hey, I can't do this right now, like, it's amazing to just have someone be like, all right, and just, like, change the subject and move on. Like, that's something that's really, really nice.
Yeah.
I saw a TikTok yesterday. I don't remember who this person was, so shout out to them, because I really liked her TikTok. She was talking about her and her ex, like, they used to, like, peel potatoes together to, like, make food. Like just peeling potatoes. And the ex would always have, like, a potato peeler. And she would always have a knife. And every time that she would accidentally, like, get too much potato and not just the skin, he would, like, yell at her or hurt her or whatever. And so, she found herself, like, thinking of that when she was doing it with a new partner that was healthy. So she made a TikTok video. She cut the potato in half and just threw it. She goes, I wasted that potato. It was so good. It's one of my favorite videos ever. Because there's so many moments like that of, like, little things. And, like, she described it really well where she was, like, saying that she was constantly looking over at her new partner to see if they were going to get mad and kind of, like, holding her breath. She's like, no, like, fuck it. Like, I'm going to waste this if I want. It's not a big deal. Like, it's something that's not a big deal that someone else made a big deal.
Exactly. And it's like having that newfound freedom, and you're like, holy shit, I don't have to apologize for everything anymore. Mm-hmm.
That, and having a relationship not be so hard. Like, don't get me wrong, relationships are hard, but it is so much harder when you're in an abusive relationship.
True.
It is so stressful all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be able to breathe and, like, legitimately have a partner that is your best friend and that you can do whatever with. Like, that's what's really fun about it.
True.
No, I just like to talk about red flags because I don't think it's talked about enough, mm-hmm. especially in teenage relationships.
True.
I just think that if anyone is being controlling right off the bat, like, don't, like, give them the benefit of the doubt, especially at first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not saying you constantly have to play, like, checks on your partner. But I know, like, I did a lot with you, like, in the first couple weeks of just, even though we had already been best friends for months, just making sure you weren't lying about things.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a valid thing to do to partners, is like, hey, like, let's make sure we're not lying about stuff, because that can be, like, the very first red flag that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure your partner follows through with commitments, I'd say, is another one, because that shows that they really care if they're following through with what they're saying. Like, I think all of my stuff would have been avoided if I just had listened or, like, looked more at actions than at words. Because, like, people can say they love you all they want, but they need to prove it with their actions. That was my main thing, was just, like, be on the lookout for red flags and don't settle for something that you're not happy with. Because it's so worth it whenever you finally find something that you are happy with.
And if you have everybody in your life telling you it's a bad decision, there's a good chance there's something you're missing.
Well, it sucks, like, because, especially when you're an angsty teenager, you don't want to listen to your parents. I didn't want to listen to my parents.
Yeah.
And I had people coming up to me at school asking me if I was being abused. Like, I had people legitimately directly asking, because I was literally getting beat within school walls, like, and people saw it. So, even with that, I still couldn't see that it was a bad thing.
Yeah, no, that's the thing that I think isn't talked about enough, is, like, especially when you're in an abusive relationship, most of the time you don't see the signs until literally days, months, years later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing stuff now from previous relationships from years ago, and I'm going, oh my god, that wasn't okay, and I settled for that.
Yeah. I think sometimes you need someone to be very direct with you. Like, I'm not even saying, like, leave it, because I had people asking me if I was being abused, and the obvious answer in my mind was, like, no, everything's great. But you need people saying, hey, this person controlling what you're wearing is not normal. This person treating you like that is not normal. This person speaking to you like that, that's not normal. You don't have to deal with that. Like, I think that's the real conversations that we need to have with people that we see in those relationships.
And this is probably going to sound really, like, dumb, I don't know, but, like, take time with yourself. That was something that I did in past relationships when I started to realize they were toxic. And even, like, now every once in a while I'll do that, even though happy I am. Just, like, sitting back and being, like, reality. Am I happy right now? Is what I'm going through healthy? Is there anything that I'm trying to pretend like it's not going on? You know, those kinds of things. And I feel like if you're in a happy relationship, you, like, sit back and you know what? No, I'm happy with where I'm at. It's good. I don't have doubts in my mind about every little thing. You know, I feel safe. If I spill something or if I want to buy something, you know, you're not going to get screamed at. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Be reasonable. I mean, if you're going to spend $16,000 and you're in bankruptcy over something stupid, that's, like, one of those things you need a conversation about.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're wanting to buy, like, I don't know, a coffee or something, and it's not the end of the world, there's no need to be mad about.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that you just gotta sit back and reconsider with yourself. And if you have questions, talk with your partner, be open.
Mm-hmm.
And if your partner's not willing to go, hey, I see this is upsetting you, what can I do to help? Then tell them to leave.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, that's not... A good relationship is willing to not necessarily compromise yourself, but again, find that middle ground. Or if it is something that's legitimately bad, you need to be able to see their side of it and then work on it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want someone to be controlling every movement you make.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're saying something that's triggering your partner or something, you know, just don't say it.
Yeah. I think on that note, another thing that's really important, whether your relationship is healthy or unhealthy, is give yourself the space to say, what if we did break up? Like, I know that was the hardest thing for me, is because I had never, like, in my relationship with my ex-boyfriend, like, because we were in a very serious relationship, like, I lost my virginity that way and everything. Like, it was very, very serious. I never gave myself, like, even the possibility that we could break up. I just kept telling myself, there's no way this could happen. And so, like, now even in a healthy relationship, giving yourself that option and saying, hey, what would my life be like if we did break up? That helps a lot. Like,
mm-hmm.
It to not be, like, cemented in that all the time, because that helps to be able to, like, reflect on the relationship.
True.
Is being like, you don't have to stay in this. Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to, like, depend your entire existence on that other person.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be able to have time for yourself, like, take that self-care moment, you know? Do things for yourself that make you happy. But at the same time, you know, gotta be there too. But don't compromise yourself, and don't expend your entire existence being like, I would die without them, you know?
That's the biggest, my biggest pet peeve right now is, I would die without you. Like, I don't like that anymore, because that's how, like, my relationship with my first boyfriend, that's how that was. Like, we literally had a suicide pact together. Like, it was very serious that we could not live without one another. And now, guess what? I haven't talked to him in probably 2 or 3 years, and...
You're both still alive.
I haven't missed him since we got together. We're fine. Well, he's crazy. I'm fine.
No, I think we've even had this conversation, like, if something happened to one of us, would we want us to move on?
Well, we had an initial conversation when we were friends, and it's because all your other friends were relying on you so much.
Yeah.
Were relying on you to keep them alive. And so, I remember we were in the parking lot at TJ Maxx. And we were doing, because we had, like, been driving around together. And so you were, like, dropping me off at my car, something like
mm-hmm.
that. And I was just like, listen. I was like, it would suck if you just decided to drop everything and leave one of these days. I would miss you. But I wouldn't die. I'd be fine. Like, I would keep on going, and it would be great. Like, you know, like, because I would live my life, even if it would be sad.
Yeah.
And that's how our relationship is, too. Like, if one of us just all of a sudden decides they don't want to do this anymore, the other one will be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll hurt.
Yeah, and it's not taking away from that hurtful experience at all. You can still feel all those emotions about that. But the bottom line is, we do not think that we need each other to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah. Don't forget to follow us wherever podcasts are available to stay up to date on new episodes. Thanks for watching.